Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 27, The Process of Deity Worship, beginning with verse number 14. Evam, Kriya, Yoga Patai, Uman, Vaidika, Tantrikai, Archan, Ubayataha, Siddhim, Matto, Vindati, Abhipsita, Evam Kriya Yoga Pattai, Uman Vaidika Tantrikai, Archanubayata Siddhim, Ubayata Siddhim, Matto Vindatya Vipsitam, Evam Kriya Yoga Pattai, Uman Vaidika Tantrikai, Archanubayata Siddhim, Matto Vindyatya Vipsita, Evam Kriya Yoga Pattai, Uman Vaidika Tantrikai, Archanubayata Siddhim, Matto Vindatya Vipsita, Evam, in this way, Kriya Yoga of regulated deity worship, Patai, by the processes, Uman, a person, Vaidika Tantrikai, presented in the Vedas and Tantras, Archan, worshipping, Ubayataha, in both this life and the next, Siddhim, perfection, Mataha, from me, Vindati, he achieves, Abhipsita, desired. Translation: by worshipping me through the various methods prescribed in the Vedas and Tantras, one will gain from me his desired perfection, both in this life and the next. So we'll go on to text 15. Maracham sampratistapya mandiram karaye dridam pushpo dhyanani ramyani pujayatro va puja yatrotsava sritan. The devotee should more fully establish my aditi by solidly constructing a temple along with beautiful gardens. These gardens should be set aside to provide flowers for the regular daily worship, special deity processions, and holiday observances. Purport: wealthy, pious persons should be engaged in constructing temples and gardens for the pleasure of the deity. The word dridham indicates that the most solid means of its constructing should be employed. So we'll go to the next. Pujadinam pravahartam mahaparvav parsavatanvam shetrapana puragraman datva mat sarstitam yat. One who offers the deity gifts of lands, markets, cities, and villages, so that the regular daily worship and special festivals of the deity may go on continually, will achieve opulence equal to my own. Purport: by placing tracts of land in the deity's name, there will be regular income for opulent deity worship, both from rent and from agricultural production. A worshipper who makes this arrangement mentioned above will certainly achieve opulence like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratistaya sarvabhomam sadmana bhuvanatrayam pujadina brahma lokam trivirmat samyatam iyat. By installing the deity of the Lord, one becomes king of the entire earth. By building a temple for the Lord, one becomes ruler of the three worlds. By worshipping and serving the deity, one goes to the planet of Lord Brahma. And by performing all three of these activities, one achieves a transcendental form like my own. Mameva nairapeksham yena bhakti yogena vindati bhakti yogam salabhata evam ya pujayetamam. But one who simply engages in devotional service with no consideration of fruity results attains me. Thus, whoever worships me according to the process I have described will ultimately attain pure devotional service unto me. Purport. The previous two verses were spoken by the Lord to attract those interested in fruitive results, and now the ultimate purpose of worshipping the Lord is described. The ultimate goal in life is Lord Krishna himself. Love for the Lord is the highest bliss, although ordinary people cannot understand this. Yasvadattam parayadattam harita suravipraya vrittim sajayate vidbhu varsanam ayutayutam. Anyone who steals the property of the demigods or brahmanas, whether originally given to them by himself or someone else, must live as a worm and stool for 100 million years. Kartuscha sarater hetor anumoditur evacha karmanam bhagina pritya buya buya sitat palam. Not only the performer of the theft, but also anyone who assists him, instigates the crime, or simply approves of it, must also share the reaction in the next life. According to their degree of participation, they each must suffer a proportionate consequence. Purport. Stealing paraphernalia meant for worshipping the Supreme Lord or his authorized representatives should be avoided at all costs. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 11th canto, 27th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna's Instructions on the Process of Deity Worship. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svaparandingam Aradanas Janandante Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Tuvisyam Janmadanmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes, the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here, many wonderful instructions are being given that one who follows this process of deity worship, then, as we were discussing yesterday, he will attain perfection of Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna goes on to describe about building temples of the Lord. And he describes that there should also be sufficient grounds for growing flowers. And those flowers should be dedicated for the service of the deity. Just like here also we have, of course we didn't construct, we simply remodeled these buildings, but anyway, and still there's some room for nice gardens and so many flowers are coming. So this is directly according to Krishna's instructions. Then he goes on to explain that one who gives gifts of land, markets, cities. Can't imagine donating a whole city. Those only kings can do this, I guess. That the whole city is meant for the service of the Lord. then he achieves opulence just equal to his own. So actually we see many places the Didi has so much land. And the income from that land or the markets, it's like you see everywhere, the most places they have temples and there's a little market in the front. Although I believe it just nowadays it really destroys the beauty of the temple, you know. There's Papu's auto repair in front of the temple. But anyway, these things are somehow or other one makes some arrangement for the Didi worship to go on very opulently. Then Krishna is very pleased. And just like Loi Bazaar, all those markets belong to Gopinath Bazaar, Loi Bazaar, they all belong to the different temples. And the rent, of course, has been going on since a couple of hundred years, so the rents back then were practically 5 or 6 rupees. So. But still, all of those shop owners, they give donations to the different temples whose actually those markets belong to. And he says, by installing the Didi or building the temple and worshipping and serve the Didi, one goes to the one becomes a ruler of the three worlds. And by worshipping and see the Didi, one goes to the planet Lord Brahma. And performing all three of these, one achieves a transcendental form like my own. And then finally we hear, but one who does these things in devotional service without any desire for any reward, then he achieves Lord Krishna himself, which is actually the real goal. Even if we achieve rulership over the entire earth, and still will never be satisfied. This was exactly the instruction that Mamandev gave to Bali Maharaj. He asked him for 3 steps of land, and Bali Maharaj said, you're just a little child, why are you asking for 3 steps of land? You don't understand things. And Bali and Mamandev says, if someone is not satisfied with what he easily gets, he'll never be satisfied. And that immediately struck the heart of Bali Maharaj. Because he was ruling over the entire universe, but still he was completely bothered by so many material desires. So even if one achieves rulership over the entire earth, still he'll never be satisfied. Material desires are such that they just—it's like fire. The more you feed fuel into the fire doesn't become satisfied. He blazes higher. So the more we try to satisfy our own senses, the more the blaze of lust increases, increases, increases. But when we try to engage in serving Krishna, then we become fully satisfied. It was a nice verse. Mukti bhukti siddhikami sakaleya santa Krishna bhakta niskama ata eva santa. That those who desire bhukti, material enjoyment, mukti, liberation, or siddhi, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta. All of them are unpeaceful. They're restless. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta. Krishna, bhakta, nishkama, ata, eva, shanta. But that devotee of Krishna who has no desire except for the service of the Lord, ata, eva, shanta. He's always very peaceful. So if we want to become peaceful, then we have to engage in trying to satisfy the desires of the Lord rather than try to satisfy our senses. So after all of these wonderful instructions of the benefits, then Krishna gives warning. Then anybody who steals the property of the deity or the demigods, the deities or the brahmanas, then he must live in a worm and stool for 100 million years. And not only him, but anybody who participates or even approves, he gets the same result in proportion to how much he took part. Unfortunately, this is what we see, that we go to Vrindavan. Before Prabhupada came there and began to build Krishna Balaram Mandir, nobody was investing any money in Vrindavan. It was a sleepy place. And hardly the deities were being worshipped properly. And everybody was simply engaged in doing exactly this. Sometimes we go to a temple and we see so many deities on one altar. And devotees think, oh, how wonderful, look, there's so many deities. There's Radha Damodara, there's Radha Vrindavan Chandra, there's Radha Madhava. So many deities on one altar. But actually what has happened is they sold off the property of all those. They sold that deity's property, and then they put him on the altar, the same altar with some other deity, then they sold another one like that. This is big. Nobody was investing money in Vrindavan. Everybody was trying to squeeze whatever they could get out. It wasn't until Prabhupada came and he invested heavily. When he built Krishna Balaram Mandir, that was one of the most amazing, still is one of the most amazing temples in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, as soon as he did that, then suddenly everyone began investing money in Vrindavan. And now we see that there all the Vaishyas have figured out how to make money out of Vrindavan. In the old days it was very difficult. Now they're practically destroying the beauty of Vrindavan, building so many. Now they're very happy. The first high-rise in Vrindavan, they advertise as if this was a wonderful thing. But Vrindavan actually means forest. So practically all the temples, they've lost all of their properties by it, because everybody was just trying to squeeze out. Prabhupada was the first one. He came and he invested money. When we first came to Vrindavan, we would see the deities. The Singhasana would be covered with cobwebs. You know, the whole altar room was just covered with cobwebs and dirty. And the deity's cloth looked like if you just blew on it, it would fall apart. And now, since Prabhupada built Krishna Balaram Mandir, we see all the temples, their opulence is increasing like anything. People are building temples like anything. And the deity worship is going on very nicely, the standard. Prabhupada raised the whole standard of Vrindavan. Otherwise, nobody was interested. They were just trying to squeeze out whatever they could get so they could go on enjoying their family life. But Prabhupada began to invest in Vrindavan and he changed the whole face in Vrindavan. Unfortunately, there's no control, so now that face has become completely disfigured. But still, it's amazing that so many hundreds of people are coming, thousands of millions of people coming to Vrindavan. When Prabhupada first built Krishna Balaram Temple, then everybody said, why did you build your temple out there? Who will go there? And now we see you can't, there's no place to, even if you stand down in the courtyard for the aarti, still you can't stand peacefully. Everybody's bumping into you somehow or another. And I'm always feeling when I'm there that even though I'm being bumped here and there, I can just see Prabhupada in the Golok smiling down, seeing how everybody is coming to visit Krishna Balaram Temple. And they're always amazed. I've traveled all over northern India. Everybody, first thing they say is your temple was clean. Second thing they say, the deity worship was just, the decoration was just amazing. And third thing they say, that 7 o'clock aarti in the evening, that was just, took my breath away. So we can't imagine how much mercy we're hearing, all this wonderful, how Krishna is so pleased by doing these things. So Prabhupada built this beautiful temple at a time when everybody was just trying to exploit. And Prabhupada invested and built this beautiful temple. Then he acquired the Goshala land. Then they acquired land next to the Goshala. Then even more land to make a garden, just like Krishna says here. Make a garden. So we have nice gardens there next to the Goshala for supplying so many flowers for the deities. And every day we can see all the ladies sitting there stringing all the garlands. So we can't imagine how much mercy Srila Prabhupada got. So we're so fortunate to be under his guidance. Because Krishna has certainly, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna have certainly bestowed their fullest mercy upon him. And therefore he was able to not only make a temple in Vrindavan, but temples all over the world. So we're very fortunate to be in temple. I was just seeing the plaque outside dedicated by Srila Prabhupada himself. We have Prabhupada's rooms here. There's not many temples in the world where we have the Prabhupada actually stayed there in the temple. So here in Melbourne, Mahaprabhu Mandir, you're very, very fortunate. And you're even most fortunate. You're so lucky to be able to serve such wonderful deities. You can't imagine how fortunate you are. I'm always astonished when I see the beauty of Sri Sri Gornitai. And Radha Balaji are simply so enchanting. And Jagannath and Baladi Subhadra, they're very charming. You're very fortunate to be the servants of such wonderful lords here in what Prabhupada called it Mahaprabhu's Melbourne Mandir. Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. So here we're reading Krishna's instructions on deity worship. We can see that if we follow this process of deity worship and we worship the deity with great enthusiasm, then how much mercy Prabhupada will bestow upon us, we have no idea. This is like we said the other day when Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. And somebody said, "Oh, Prabhupada, since you've come, the deities look so wonderful." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is my anxiety." What? Didn't follow from what the comment, it didn't follow. Nobody could figure out what Prabhupada. And he walked a little further and he says, "Yes, that is my anxiety." And devotees were completely bewildered. So somebody said, "What is that, Prabhupada?" He said, "How it will go on after I'm gone. That is my anxiety." So here we see Prabhupada personally dedicated this temple, and we see everything is so, now it is much more beautiful than when Prabhupada was here. We have these beautiful columns and arches. The deity worship is going on very fantastically. So Prabhupada must be very pleased with all the residents of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Because that was Prabhupada's anxiety, that how it will go on. In fact, the most amazing thing is that Prabhupada's movement is going on and spreading like anything all over the world. I remember one time, even the Brijvasis, they're completely astonished. Because Brijvasis, you can't impress them at all. They've seen everything, they know everything, they heard everything. They're like New Yorkers, you know. In New York, you know, nobody's impressed by anything. They've seen everything, they know everything, they heard everything. You know, somebody will drop dead on the street, you know, they'll just walk around, they don't care, you know. Nobody cares about anything in New York. So the Brijvasis are like that. They've seen everything, they heard everything, they know everything, they're not even impressed. Don't think that just because you're a foreigner, you sometimes you feel they're making jokes at you and abusing you in so many ways. But it's not just you, anybody. They don't, even if Prime Minister comes, they don't care. After all, they were pulling Krishna by the ear and chasing him with sticks, so what are they going to care about anybody else? They don't care for anything. Very difficult to impress the Brijvasis, but they were impressed by Prabhupada. Because I remember in the old days, we used to rent the entire Fogel Ashram and then arrange for all the devotees to stay there. Now if you just take the name Fogel Ashram, devotees, no, I don't want to stay there. I remember I told the management, because I was seeing every year that people were making their own, that now there's so many guest houses and people were making their own arrangements. And I told the management, you know, that next year don't bother to rent Fogel Ashram. Nobody's going to stay there. And they rented it and nobody stayed there. All these arrangements, and everybody made their own arrangements. So now everybody, that's all over. But you used to have to rent that whole ashram because devotees would come. They'd never been to India. They didn't know where to go. So I was sitting in the room outside the temple president's office one day, and there was one fellow who was, he was the one when Prabhupada came in 1972, I guess it was 71, November of 71, he came with a whole busload of devotees. So there was one fellow, Banwari Lal Patak, who was the head of the Brahmin Samaj, the Brahmin Society of Vrindavan. So he hosted Prabhupada, he had some guest house, and he hosted the devotees and Srila Prabhupada. And one day we all went to his house to take prasadam, and you know, Prabhupada was sitting there and all the devotees were sitting there, and began passing out leaf plates. Now leaf plates are actually very, it seems very simple, but it is actually very, very wonderful way to serve prasadam. So they even put one leaf plate down for Srila Prabhupada. So then Tamal Krishna came over and he started going on. He said, come on, Srila Prabhupada, he's a guru of the entire world, you know, you should give him a silver plate, this, that. And Prabhupada just looked and said, it is Brijbasi's mercy that we're taking prasad here. And Tamal shut up. So anyway, he arranged for all the devotees, and then they arranged a nice big program. It was in that program that one businessman of the city, he became, after seeing the kirtan of the devotees, and he said, all right, I've got some piece of land that I want to give you. And then we got this land for Krishna Balaram Mandir. So anyway, that fellow, Banwari Lal Patak, he was, because we used to rent that whole ashram, so he'd come to discuss the details with the temple president. I just had to be sitting out in the room outside the office. And, you know, so I saw him come in and we exchanged some pleasantries. Then he said to me, is, you know, Dinabandhu, we Brijbasis are very proud of your Srila Prabhupada. I said, sure, is it? I said, why is that? He said, because Srila Prabhupada has set up a movement that has outlived him. Because we have seen so many big, big sadhus here in Vrindavan. And when they were there, then all ministers and everybody's visiting and so much activity going on in their ashram. He said, now you go see Anandamayi's ashram, nothing going on. You go to this one, you go to that one. Everything is, he's gone and everything is finished. But still we come here to ISKCON, kirtan is going on, artik is going on, everything is very clean. Prabhupada has set up a movement that has outlived him. We are very proud of Srila Prabhupada. And presently we see, we go to so many ashrams, you see everything, it's going on, but there's no magic there. But we come to Krishna Balaram Mandir, I mean everybody, that's on their list. We're number two. We try harder, but we're number two. Everybody wants to go see Banki Bihari, and next on the list is to go see ISKCON. So, and everything is going on, and people are there coming in Kartik, and just amazed, there's an ocean of ghee lamps going on, everybody's offering, the people come in, they're just amazed, you just see huge river of ghee lamps going from, you know, Gornitai's altar to Krishna Balaram to Radhasham Sundar's altar like that, and kirtan is going on, and devotees are dancing and spinning. So it's very difficult to impress the Brijbasis, but Prabhupada impressed them. So we're very fortunate to be under Srila Prabhupada's shelter, and we're very fortunate to be able to serve these wonderful lordships here. So is there any questions or comments? Yes?
You were saying when the states of land in India, etc., when one is sold for
100 million years, not lifetimes.
And there are similar things in the scripture saying what will happen if you do such and such, either a negative or a positive. Is it always to be taken literally?
I don't know, Krishna's personally speaking to Uddhav here, so. What happens to Vrishbhasis, I don't know, but other places anyway, this is the destination. Vrishbhasis have a special relationship with Krishna that we can't understand, so I'd rather not comment on them, but anyway. Krishna's personally telling Uddhav. So we should be, Prabhupada mentions that even if one stealing paraphernalia meant for worshipping the Supreme Lord or his representative should be avoided at all costs. Sometimes, even in Vrindavan, we see some temples that the Singhasan is quite simple and not very decorative. But I've heard from older residents of Vrindavan used to be silver and gold plated singhasan, it was all sold off and things like that. So these things are going on. And always, in fact, that's one of the reasons Prabhupada warned us against using, real jewelry. He said, well, just invite thieves, especially in Kali Yuga. People are so fallen, they will steal the paraphernalia of the deities. And what to speak of the invaders who came in and looted all the temples. Now we see the situation of Iraq and all these places, how they're suffering like anything. Because they all came and smashed the temples and looted all the wealth. And now they're suffering like anything. Yes.
I have a question in relation to preaching to Indians. Over the last couple of months, somehow I've met a couple of different people who are Indians, their family have become meat eaters. And because the eating culture is so strong in their culture, it's hard for them because they go back to their parents' place. Like, they have that sort of sentiment. And I was wondering in that particular direction how to best
preach to them. So you have so much experience with Indian
culture and people.
The best way is just we encourage everyone to chant Hare Krishna. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. By chanting and coming to the temple and seeing how the devotees are, how all these foreign devotees have become vegetarians, and automatically they will, because it's already there in their blood. No, don't try to criticize, but just encourage them to come to the temple, encourage them to take prasadam, then gradually they will realize that they made a wrong turn somewhere. Because they're naturally Krishna conscious. Just like when I remember going in Delhi to IIT and all these places to preach, it was just like a brahmachari ashram with no Krishna consciousness. They were living very simply, and as soon as we come in, they would have to, as soon as they saw a devotee, then automatically, even if the only thing they had was some old stale peanuts, they would always have to offer something for us to eat, and they're always very respectful because they're all coming. They're coming from villages and they're coming from nice families. The modern education system is probably a slaughterhouse, but still, it's there. So when they would see a devotee come, it's not like, if you go to, I can't imagine. I know what it's like going to a college dorm in America. It's just you have to practically shut your eyes. They have pictures all over the walls that we don't want to discuss here in this holy place, and everybody's drinking and carrying on. But there, we were preaching. It was just like being in a You're just a brahmacharya ashram with no Krishna consciousness, that's all. You're living very simply, nobody's drinking and carrying on. Of course, now it may have changed because I haven't done preaching in Delhi for a long time. But Krishna consciousness is naturally there. So we just have to, just like a little spark is there, we fan that spark so it becomes a big fire. So just try to encourage them to. First thing is accept everything favorable. So first thing we encourage people to accept all the favorable things. Then gradually, once we become the friend, then we can introduce the next step is to avoid the things that are unfavorable. Any other questions? So there's no. Yes?
I was just wondering if we get some inspiration from global distribution as well. Maybe just some realization.
Yeah, so we know that that was the thing that was most dear to Srila Prabhupada. And even in his last days, he was always saying that just hearing these scores is my only solace. And sometimes we spend too much time, not that it shouldn't be done, but we glorify those persons who do big, big numbers of books. But actually, Vaisheshika, he has a whole plan there in Silicon Valley. He says if a whole lot of people do a little bit, that becomes a big number. We spend so much time glorifying those who actually go out and distribute so many books. And we should. That's wonderful. But then those who aren't able to do like that, they feel discouraged. But actually, we should encourage people. If a million people distribute one book, that's a million books distributed. So he always tries to encourage that even if you just do a little bit, if a whole bunch of us do a little bit, that becomes a lot. Just like your cell phone, they send you a little message, you can get some ringtones for only 6 rupees a month. You think that for 6 rupees, that is nothing, But they have millions and millions of subscribers, so all of those little 6 rupees is a huge number for them. You're thinking, 6 rupees is nothing. But for we have millions and millions of subscribers subscribing for 6 rupees a month. That becomes millions and billions of rupees. So if everybody can somehow do just a little bit, if a lot of people do a little bit, then it becomes a big number. So this is very special month of Prabhupada's marathon, and so somehow or other, even if you can't distribute, somehow you help, assist in any way you can. It's like when I was living in Mayavi temple as a householder, I used to come and I was the sarati. We would go because we're always distributing in the main city, so I would take them to all the little surrounding cities. We go, store to store and this and that. So I was a sarti. I would drive the devotees here and there and drop them off, and after 10 minutes then pick them up and then go to the next place and then go to the next place and like that. So anyhow you can help. This is a special month and this is the best way to please you, the Prabhupada. See, if you're not a big, big distributor, if you can do something small, if a whole bunch of us do something small, then that will be a big result. So we should encourage even those persons who are not expert at book distribution, even if you just do one book, two books, do something. And if all of us together do a little something, then that becomes a big number. Hare Krishna. If there's no other questions, we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who made so many temples all over the world, and that deity worship is going on so nicely in all of those temples. Srila Prabhupada ki.